slight contradictions also between the Hebrew and Shemitah Sava and the way it says that the Jews are not free. One of the slight contradictions is pointed out by the Zohar. In the opening pasuk in Vayakhel, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu told all of Bnei Yisrael, not how Moshe called all of Bnei Yisrael, the dinim of Shabbos and the dinim of Asiyas HaMishkan. Vayarim Moshe called all of Bnei Yisrael, Zohar, Moshe Tziv Hashem, Beth HaMishkan. The beginning of Tumah says that everyone, Yish Kolish Yishayit Ben Eliko, whoever wants to donate. Sounds like not only Adas Bnei Yisrael. So who is that? So the Zohar points out there's a slight contradiction here. So the Zohar claims that the answer to the contradiction is that Kisisa came in between. That the Tzibur for Asiyas HaMishkan preceded the Chetar Adon. And at that time, originally, they were open for donations from anyone who had a Kedushas Yisrael, including Eregrav. And after the Chetar Ego, which was instigated by the Eregrav, that's how Rashi puts in the Midrashim on Parashas Kisisa, Rechrez Kishiche Samcha, for the Bocha tells Moshe Rabbeinu, it's your people who sin. What means your people? The Bajan's people. What does that do with Moshe Rabbeinu? So Rashi puts in the Midrash, Kishiche Samcha, the Eregrav. Wasn't my people, wasn't for himself, Moshe Rabbeinu's people. So the Zohar says that after the Chetar Ego, so the twin was changed. Then the Asiyas HaMishkan is limited back to the Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, not to the Eregrav. So some claim that that perhaps is the answer to the Ramban's question, why everything is repeated. And not only repeated, there are slight contradictions here between the way the CV is given in Shemitah Tzavah and the way it was fulfilled. We hear by Yaakov Bikuda, and it says, he keeps on saying to say that 13 times in Bikuda, that they did everything exactly, Kol HaShatid Hashem also. Everything was done exactly the same way it was commanded, and it wasn't exactly. You look at Shemitah Tzavah, it doesn't seem to be exactly the same. But some suggest that maybe there had to be not only this change that the Zohar pointed out, that the opening Zohar, and Parshas Vayakhel, and the Shanoah Parish quotes the Zohar. That's why it's a little more popular than other Zohar. But maybe the other slight contradictions are also due to the fact that there was a Chet HaEgel in between that caused the plan to be changed. This, of course, is in contradiction to Rashi. Rashi claims earlier, I think in Trumas Tetzaveh, that the Tzivui for Asiyas HaMishkan only came after the Chet HaEgel. Not like this. The Zohar claims that the Tzivui came before the Chet HaEgel, and then they saw sin with the Egel on Shivas of the Tamas. When some Moshe Rabbeinu came down the first time with the Lukas and the Stanley. And then after he came down the third time, after the third year of 40 days, after the Yom Kippur, then they started collecting. Rashi says, Vayakha Moshe, the opening Rashi, the Makos, and the Kippurim, Kishyod, and the Horim, that's when they started collecting for Asiyas HaMishkan. So that's, everybody's masking for that. They started collecting for Asiyas HaMishkan on Yom Kippur, and the Torah and Hilchos Chanukah quotes the Medrash that says that they collected everything by Chanukah. They had everything all prepared by Chanukah, but they didn't put it together till the end of Ador. And then Rishkodesh Nisim was the Yom Shmini when he lived. Why'd they wait so long? The question. Why'd they wait so long for Chanukah? If everything was ready, Chanukah. And then Hakadosh Baruch Hu felt bad for the Chanukah season, so he said, look, sometime in the future I'll make a Yom Kippur Chanukah, but I'll have to do it on Mikvah HaMikdash. It's straightening out the Beis HaMikdash. You know, they should have really made it at that time. So the Rashi claims that the Tzivui for Asiyas HaMishkan began after the Chet HaEgel. The purpose of the Mishkan was to demonstrate to the Israelites that they were forgiven for the Chet HaEgel. And the Zohar says nothing. The Zohar says, they're a Midrashim that say like Rashi also. Rashi didn't invent it. Rashi got it from the Medrash. But the Zohar is based on other opinions in the Midrashim. That the Tzivui preceded, but after the Chet HaEgel, the Tzivui was slightly changed. The opening psukim of Vayakha tell us the laws of Shabbos. The one is prohibited to do malacha and the special din of Havorah. Rashi and Chumash quotes Yesh Merah B'Seinam, why is Havorah singled out? So the Gemara has in Shabbos Dafayin and Machlekes HaTanon. Some Tanon say Havorah love Yotas, Yesham and Lechalek Yotas. The Machlekes had to interpret the Pshat and the Pasuk. Usually Rashi doesn't stand by for the kids. Usually Rashi just tries to take care of Pshat and the students. Apparently here there are two ways to interpret the Pasuk. The one Tana says an example of Kalosim Amalach is Asarayesh B'chal Mishnah Sech. The Havor Lachalik Yotzer. This is one of the Lama Tesoros Malach. It's another 38. And they're all pretty similar, more or less. They all have Chorus, they all have Misa. They're all the same. And the reason why one is singled out is not Tavor, the reason why one is singled out is Lachalot. What is Lachalot? So Rashi and Shabbos in different places, the Gemara appears in different places, Tavor Lachalot. So Rashi in different places gives different interpretations. In one place Rashi writes Lachalot, that you shouldn't think that you're only Chayiv or Misa if you do all of the 39 Melachot. That'd be quite a job. You have to do all the 39 Melachot in order to be Chayiv Misa. Or you only chayiv kores if you violate all the 39 melachos. So that's lachalik yotzo, but you chayiv nisi even if you only did one of the many melachos, and you chayiv kores even if you only did one of the many melachos. That's what Achronim asked on Rashi, how could there been such a havamina? Why do you need a pasuk to tell you lachalik yotzo? If you chayiv nisi, I'll call achas v'yachas, you chayiv kores, I'll call achas v'yachas. The Torah tells a story about the mekoshesh, that he only did one melachos. Maybe he did a couple more melachos, but it wouldn't appear that he violated all the 39 melachos. He would have been busy all day long violating all the 39 of his melachos. And they let him go, from one to the other, to the other, to the other, they let him go the whole day long. It must have taken at least 39 minutes, no. To violate more than 39 minutes. So it would appear from the Chumash that you chayiv on any one single malach. So what do you need a posuk to tell you lachalik yot? So that's where the Pashut Shat lachalik is, the way Rashi writes in the most of the other places, lachalik. That if a person does one malach, he's chayiv. If he does one malach, the maze is b'li hasroi, he's chayiv kores. And if he violates it, b'shogeg, then he's chayiv chapas. What if he violates two malachas, three malachas, five malachas, ten malachas? All the hell of that, I would have thought that he's only chayiv one chatas. What if a person eats chayla b'shege? A kazai's chayla b'shege. So he's chayiv chatas. What if he eats? He goes to a restaurant that has a hashgacha, and he serves him a whole meal, and then it turns out he blows most of everything was chayla. Everything that he ate was chayla. He ate 10 kazai's in a chayla. So he doesn't have to bring 10 chatas. If he ate everything behind the hell of he only has to bring one chatas. I would have thought that the same is true in Bani Chayla Shabbos. But if a person has Mechal Shabbos with all the 39 of his Melachos, if it was all Behel Mechal, all he has to do is bring one Chatos and he'll get a Kapar. That's why I have a Pasuk that Mechalik Yotzes, it goes on Chatos. There's no Havamina Misa, but he's not going to be Chayiv Misa unless he violates all 39. There's no Havamina Chorus, he's not Chayiv Chorus unless he violates all 39. There's no Havamina Chatos either, that if he only violates one, he shouldn't be Chayiv Chatos. Of course he's Chayiv Chatos. The issue over here, why do you need a Pasuk Mechalik Yotzes is Fakir? If he violates many malachas behel mechod, I would have thought that he's only chayiv one chatos. It's like repeating the same avera. If he chayiv v'dam behel mechod, he chayiv two chatos. The Mishnah has in the beginning of krisis, but there are shloshim v'sheish krisis hamurid b'tarya. So if he violates all the 36 krisis in the Torah, then he's chayiv 36 chatos. I would have thought that one of the 36 is chilul Shabbos. If he's mechal Shabbos, all the 39 of his malachas. It only captures one other. It's all Shein Echol. That's why I need a pasuk that lachalik yotzes. That's the way it's usually is in lachalik yotzes. How it means that lachayiv al kol achas v'yachas. Not that the Talmid, the Chiddush, that I would have thought that you're not chayiv anything until you violate all 39. It's a difficult Rashi. Pashtus is the way the Rashi usually writes lachalik. Menachem Zenda in the Sefer Tetzos Chaim quotes an explicit machlokes harishon regarding the nature of this din of chiluk malachos l'shabbos, that you chayim al kol achas v'yachas. He quotes a Tosfos Rid towards the end of Shabbos, one of the later prokem of Shabbos, says that if not for the pasuk, I would have thought that all the 39 malachos are all shem echod. Like the one who eats five kizeis hachayim behal mechod, one who eats five kizeis mazdam behal mechod. Now the Pasuk tells me Lechalik Yotzos, it teaches me that just like Chela, Vedam, and Eshishish, and Achishishta, and Achoisoi, and Dita, and Nima, these are all Shemus Machloch, and these are all Sefer Yisir, so too Charishri, and Zri, and Ksire, and so on, each one of the Lama Tessar Yisrof is Mamish of Sefer Yisir, Shemus Machloch, the Mamish Sefer Yisir. And then he quotes other Rishayim and write explicitly, not so. And he sees everybody kilpus about this. What's the nature of the din? But Menachem Zenda doesn't talk. He quotes that it's explicit. There's a Mishnah that says the Beferish A, there's a Mishnah that says the Beferish B. So what's the way, how can you explain otherwise? That Lechalik Yotzes doesn't mean that it's Shemus Machlokin, that each one of these two is a separate Issa. No. It's really 39 ways to violate Chilul Shabbos. There's only one Shemus of Chilul Shabbos. But these are 39 different Surahs on the law. 39 different Iphanim of Chilul Shabbos. One is Ayde Chamisha, one is Ayde Zriya, one is Ayde Ksira. So even though truly you're violating the exact same Malacha 39 times, but since there are 39 different forms of violating the Malacha, the Torah is Mechadish that that itself, the Shinoi and the Tzuris HaPa'ula itself is Mechayiv, a separate Kor Mechadish. Moshe Lamad Al-Adayna, So Rabbi Nachum Zen gives this marshal, there is an opinion in the Mishnah Kitzes, there is a machlokes hatanayim, that the tamchuy and the tamchuy need to have the mission to cook food. So what if a person has five kizaisim of chelot, and one kizais of chelot is boiled, and one kizais of chelot is broiled, and one kizais of chelot was fried, and one kizais of chelot was smoked with sharp flavoring. And he eats the four or five kizais, and each one has a completely different taste. Each one has a completely different flavor. But it's all five kizais, no taste. So there's one opinion in the Mishnah, that Yeshua's opinion, that we have not to pass like that. That tamchuy and mechalkin. That even though it's the exact same avera, sheyesh bakar is repeated five times. It's not shemus machlokin, it's the same avera. But since each time he did it, it had a different taste, because each kizais was cooked in a different, with a different recipe. But that itself is enough to be mechalek, to be mechayv you five chatos. So even though we don't accept that opinion, maybe that's because the halacha doesn't recognize the different forms of cooking, boiling and broiling and frying and roasting and steaming. It's all the same thing. Chaylev, what's the difference? But over here, maybe that's exactly what the Gzeirus HaKosher is. That havara lechalek yotzes means that yechayv al kol achas yachas and every malacha. Not necessarily that every malacha is a shame malacha, a shame nisi b'shmeyatzma. And on Shabbos there are 39 Yisur. No, there's only one Yisur on Chilu Shabbos. The 39 Eifanim to violate it. And the 39 Eifanim, since each one has Al Kidin, a different Tzur. It's not Shammer Metzias, that this is cooking and broiling and baking and roasting and steaming and smoking and stuff. So Al Kidin, each Malacha has its own Gidor and has its own definition. With its own Tzur HaPa'ula, so maybe that's why it's Mechalek. And here everybody's masking, what's an Afkinina, whether you say like this or you say like that. Whether the 39 ways to violate the one Easter, that's what the Ramban writes, the Ferish the Sherish Test, the Ramban writes, and it's all Shem Echad. The 39 ways to violate the exact same, each one of the places, Smith says the Ferish Fakir at the end of Shabbos. That the Shem is Makhlok, what's the difference? So the Akhrenim have an interesting point. Somehow in the Rishonim, in the early Akhrenim, we don't have it, but in the development from the last 100 years, around five, six Goyim came up with the same idea. The Gemara talks about a situation where a person does one pa'ula, and I label it as a malacha for two different reasons. The Gemara says, Zayim, it's all late, mechayev shtayim. Other cases like that, the person does one act on Shabbos, and it's a malacha for one reason, it's a malacha for another reason. So the Gemara says, that is takoyev on the boat, and off my nachkimim is divi, but it's amazing, you can't give him twice nisa. You only give one mitzvah anyway. If he does it, the shegeg, that's the issue. Because of the shogeg, how many chatoras does he have to bring? So the Gemara says, chayiv shtayim, but he has to bring two chatoras. So that's the question, how could he possibly be chayiv two chatoras? If you hold that each one of the lamites went off is a separate Easter. So he did one peruba, and he did two different Easter. Like the Mishnah has in the end of Makkah, yesh torish tel nechot. The guy does one act, he's plowing the ground, he's plowing one row of one piece of earth, and inside 8 times Malchus. Why? It happens to be a Nazir and it's a cemetery. It happens to be a Zekayim and it's a cemetery. It happens to be that it's Nasa Shmita and he took a Ned there and it's Kilayim and it's this and that. It's a whole bunch of these Surim. So he does one Pu'ula, which is a violation of 8 different Averis. Okay, so he gets 8 times Malchus. Why? So if you say that each one of the Lamites Malachas is a separate Bisur, the 39 Surim, so it's shy to say that the person did one act and it's to Misurim, like the Mishnah, the Yeshkarish Talamah. But if you hold like the Ramban holds, that it's not Shemus Machlokin, it's all Shem Echad. They're just 39 ways to violate Chilul Shabbos. So what? How many Averis did he do? He did one Aver, Chilul Shabbos. There are two reasons why it's considered Chilul Shabbos. There are two reasons why it constitutes Chilul Shabbos, but it's all Chilul Shabbos. So how can you say that it's Chayiv Shtayim? He only did one Aver of Chilul Shabbos. So that's why a group of recent Gedolim came up, each one independently of the other, and then somebody collected them all. Some came to the realization that everybody in all the different parts of the world in the last century came up with the same anfa. Maybe the only time you chayiv shtayim, when you do one pula and you can label it as a malacha for two different reasons, maybe the only time you chayiv shtayim is if at least you have accomplished two different results. You accomplish two different things. For example, Zayma, the Tzorach La'etzim, there are two different accomplishments. Number one, I broke off a branch from the tree. So the branch is not detached. Number two, that's an accomplishment of the branch that is not detached. I can use it for whatever, for a log, for fuel, to burn a fire in the furnace. Number two, by breaking off, by pruning off this branch from the tree, this part of the tree is going to grow better. It's very crowded on the tree. By taking off the branch, now there's more room for the rest of the tree to grow. There are two distinct accomplishments here. But what happens if a person makes one accomplishment, and there are two reasons why they can declare it as a malacha. So a whole group of the Berlin from the last century came up with the idea that maybe you would not be chayishtan. Because they all said to answer a lot of kashas of the Minhas Chinuch. The Minhas Chinuch has in Parshas Yisrael, he has a whole country on the Lama Tetzavos and Lachas HaShabbos, the Mocha HaShabbos. So he's Moira in many situations, but the Gemara says there are certain actors in Malacha, so why shouldn't it be chayishtan? Of course, Tosfos has a certain kashas, why not chayishtan? He has additional kashas, and he leaves a lot of things hanging. Why shouldn't it be chayishtan? Why shouldn't it be chayishtan? Two chatois for many pe'ulas on Shabbos. So many whole people of Gerlin following the Minhas Chinuch all came up in the last century. We came up with this idea that maybe the only time it had time is if at least you have accomplished two distinct things in two different areas. And perhaps this issue, whether this is correct or not, the Minhas Chinuch held that it's not correct. It had time, even if there's only one accomplishment. Because it's not that these are 39 ways to violate Chilul Shabbos. Even if 39 distinct things to it. Even if you only do one pe'ula with one accomplishment, but it's also, it's Harisha and it's Riyah, so you violate the reason like Yesh Chorish Paravah, but in 5-8 times now. And the others who came after the Minhas Chinuch, who all wanted to answer his kashas, there's 10 kashas or so, they think that it's 39 reasons to declare a Chilul Shabbos. So it's only one thing that you did. It's only one action, and it's only one result. It's only one thing that you did. How can you say that that's a double Chilul Shabbos? There are two reasons why it's Chilul Shabbos. There's only one Chilul Shabbos, unless you have at least accomplished two different things. I accomplished that I have wood that's detached from the ground, and I also accomplished that the tree is going to grow better. Oh, so then, that's a malach and that's a malach. So at least you can say that there, it's a double Chilul Shabbos, because you only accomplished one thing. Huh? It's a major machlokes in the recent time. So again, so Rashi points out that there is a machlokes satanoim. How to read the connection between Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel. In the opening Pesukim of Vayakal, it says you're not permitted to do Malach, and then it says you're not permitted to do Lo Sivareish B'chol Moish Nesech. Why is Havoris Dindo that? So sometimes I say that that's a mashal of Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis says don't do Malach, and then Pasuk Gimel says what's an example of Malach? Havore, but who had the name of all the other Malach? Havore, the Chalak Yotzos, this is an example, and all the others are Chayotzah B'zeh, that Yechayiv Misa, and Chatos, and Koris, and everything. And each and every individual malacha of the Lama Tez malacha. The other time I'm saying, no, this is not, Gimel is not an example of Beis. Beis is one din, and Gimel is a different din. Beis is referring to 38 malachas. And Gimel is referring to Havara, and Havara is an exception to the rule. Whereas all the other malachas, if you violate an amazing Yechai Misa, if you violate a Bishogay, Yechai is the amazing Bali Hashra Yechai Kurz, and Bishogay Yechai Kathos, and Havara is a Tugit Shepet Yisra, it's another additional Yisra, in addition to the 38 prohibitions that are included in Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Gimel adds on another Yisra of Havara. Havara is only Lalav Yisra. If you violate Havara, you'll only be Chayiv Malchus. You won't be Chayiv Misa, you won't be Chayiv Koris, you won't be Chayiv Katos. Havara, Lalav, you don't pass it like that. Mishnah lists off, and Dal Chayiv Gimel and Shabbos, all the Lama Teh Salas Malachas, that says the fairest, that Havara is one of the Lama Teh Salas Malachas. If it's Katos, and it's Koris, and it's Misa, the whole Havara is the same. There is a question, if you hold that Havara is only Lalav Yotis, we happen not to pass like that. It's Tamish Nais, it's against that. But if one would have held like that Tana, that Havara is only Lalav Yotis, what would you say regarding Kippurim? Kippurim means you undo the Havara, and Havara means you make a fire, you burn something, it means you put it out. So does it make sense to say that Havara is only allowed in Kippur is Koris and Nisa? Kippur is more common than Havara. So there was a great Goyen in Vilna, the Menashe Ilya. He was a contemporary of the Vilna Goyen. They chased him out of Vilna. He used to be a Malamed for young children. He used to be a very original thinker. So when he taught Gemara, he would give his own pshat in the Gemara, not like Rashi, not like Pesach. And the Balabatim didn't like it. They wanted their children to learn Rashi, Pesach, meat and potato. He would give these original interpretations. So they chased him out of Vilna. Vilna Gaon always enjoyed his view. And then when they printed the Vilna Shas and they had a manuscript from the Rabbein Hananel, so this is years after they kicked him out of Vilna, they discovered that a lot of his original interpretations appeared in the Rabbein Hananel. So he was mechavim to big Rishonim. So many Rishonim on all the mistakes. Anyway, so this Rav Menashe Ilya wrote a sefer called Alpe Menashe, his original chiddush. So he writes in the sefer Alpe Menashe, this original chiddush. If you hold, it's not again the demon, because you don't pass him like this anyway. But if one would have held La Mocha, like the Tana, the Havor, the Lav Yotzes, so Kavachaymer, that Kibwe would also be only La Lav Yotzes, it wouldn't be Chorus and Nisa and so on. The Rashash quotes this. He was a relative of this Alpha Menashe. See, and that's why in Gimel, and Maseh Hashem, he quotes, share the story, the Alpha Menashe writes the Siddur. There are some Rishonim who say the Feirish like the Alpha Menashe. There's a Pesach in Deitzo, the Rashash quotes. Rashash and Dafa and Gimel and Shabbos quote, there's a Tesis and Beis Adafa Beis, and there are some other Tesis Yishanim, here and there Tesis like that. So the Rashash points out it's against the Gemara. The Feirish Gemara increases, and that's your test. The Gemara says black and white. The guy does Mechata the Gecholim, he pokes around in the coal, so the Gemara says when you Mechata the Gecholim, you accomplish two Averis, two Melochim. Your Mechata and your Mavir. Some of the coals that were red are going to become black, that's Kibbutz, some of the coals that are black are going to become red, they're going to flare up. So that's Mechaba Mavi. So the Gemara has two prices, whether Yechai Shtayim or Yechai Bachas. How many Chatos are Yechai? So the Gemara says, what's the issue? The Gemara says, that's the Machlekes, whether Havor Lalav Yotzos or Havor Lalav Yotzos. Well, Havor Lalav Yotzos. So there's no chorus for Havor, there's only chorus for Mechaba. But if your old Havor is Lachalak Yotzos, not Lalav Yotzos, then there's twice chorus. One chorus for Havor, one chorus for Kibli. But for Kibli, for sure, there's chorus. That there never was a dispute. The whole dispute between the two prices, whether you had one Chatos or two, is regarding Havar. Avadi, you're right, they're totally different, they're unrelated. Havar and Kibui are not opposites from each other. Kibui, the Gemara says, in order to be a Melocha Tzricha Legufo, you have to be interested in using the Pechom. Whenever there's no Pechom, so there's no Kibui. Let's say a person has the gas range on, and then he turns it off. A person has the electric lights on, electric bulb with a filament, and then he turns off the light. So that can't be, according to anybody, that can't be Kibui Deraita. There is no Pechom. If you turn off the gas range, there's nothing left. There's no gas. Pechom means that you have charcoal left. The thing that's charred, the charred thing that's left afterwards, that's the Heftashon Melocha. So if you plan to use that, then it's called the Melocha Hatzricha Legufa. If you don't plan to use it, but you've created a Pechom, then it's called Melocha Hatzricha Legufa. It's not that the putting out of the fire, it's not that. And mavir doesn't mean creating a fire. Mavir doesn't mean you strike a match. What if you have a fire and I put something into the fire? That's also havara. But kibui is not the opposite of havara at all. They're totally unrelated. You can have a violation of havara without having any pechum at all. But kibui you can have without a pechum. They're totally unrelated. Why should anybody think that one is connected with the other? The Gemara said the Pharisees that they're not... not probably said that. Even according to the Tana, that Havara is only Lelav Yotzos, the Kibui for sure has both. That's the Gemara increases, and that's your text. But there's a dispute in the Tesis in Sochen and Apei. According to the Tana, who thinks that Havara, Lelav Yotzos, is it prohibited on Yontif, or is it only prohibited on Shabbos? It says in the Chumash in Parshas Bo that you're not permitted to do Melach on Yom Tov. So if you hold that Havorah is Lachalak Yotzos, Havorah is also Chayt Chorus, and Mitzah, and Chatos, it means that there are 39 Ovis Melach. So all the 39 Ovis Melach are prohibited on Yom Tov. But if you hold Havorah Lelav Yotzos, so what it means is Pasuk Bei says there are 38 Melach. And Pasuk Gimel says, and there's another Isser on Shabbos, namely called Havorah. And this Havorah doesn't fall into the category of Melach. It's not a Melach at all. If it would have been a Melach, it would have had Misa and Torah and Chatos. So that's one opinion in Tesis. But if you hold Havor Lachalak Yotzos, if you hold Havor Lelav Yotzos, means it's not a Melocha. It's a separate Isa, and therefore it doesn't apply to Yontif. And the other opinion in Tesis is no, that even if you hold a Havor Lelav Yotzos, it still does apply to Yontif. There's 2 days in Tesis. The whole Yiddish term is the Mechassina quotes from earlier Achrenim, from the Shagasari and others, who find it very hard to believe that this is so. There are separate Isurim on Shabbos, for example, Chumin. Even if you hold that Chumin is a Nisa Deraisa, but it's not a Malacha, there's no Chorus, and there's no Nisa. It's a separate Isa Chumin. He's a Behemto, Machamaracha Behemto Bishabbos. She's a Zavod of Akhtan, she's a Bond of Gnosko. She's a Bond of Gnosko Akhtan, she's a Zavod of Hasnaini. There are separate Isurim on Shabbos that are not really Malacha Biki Isurim, they're separate. But to say that Havorah Lelav Yotzes means that Havorah is not a Malacha, wild. The Ben Haskinah says it. Can't believe that. How can anybody in his right mind say that? The Havara, because it doesn't have Kor, it doesn't have Nisa, doesn't have Kapil, therefore it means that it's not a Malacha for Sephiri. No, it is a Malacha. Of course it's a Malacha. Havara is quite a creative Malacha. That's what everybody... You always have to use Havara in order to get everything done. That's what the Rishonim say. Why is Atik Shuta? Why does it mention Havara? The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether the Lav Yad, the Lav Yad, the Rishonim give their own interpretation of Atik Shuta, because it's going to lead into the Asiyas HaMishkan, and everything that they did for the Mishkan needed fire. It needed fire to cook, it needed fire for everything, in order to do all the Malachas for the Mishkan. You always need fire. How can anybody say that Havara is not a Malach? And the other Rishonim hold that saying, no, that if you hold Havara, the Lav Yad, so. Havara is destructive. The Pasuk says later on that the Asiyas HaMishkan had to be done in a fashion of a Malachas Machsheves. The Gemara says that even though it doesn't say Malachas Machsheves by Shabbos, it only says it by the Mishkan. But nonetheless, whatever was involved, whatever activities they used for the Mishkan are considered a Malacha. Whatever they didn't use for the Mishkan is not considered a Malacha. When they did it for the Mishkan, they did it in the Eitan of Malachas Machsheves. It's only considered a Malacha by Shabbos. It's only Malacha Deraisa that has Malachas Machsheves. So the... What does it mean, Malachas Machsheves? What's excluded because of Malachas Machsheves? The Gemara has various meanings. No? The Gemara says, Kalach Hayad, Lohai Deshino, is only the Rabbanon. Kalkil is only the Rabbanon. Different things. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk of Malachas Machsheves. So the Rishonim say, Achumish, that Alpik Shuto, that it's not for the fact that the Gemara doesn't have this, but the Rishonim, the Mepharshim Achumish say, if not for the fact that Havara was singled out explicitly, one would have argued the point and said that Havara is very destructive. By definition, it's always Mekalkel. Even if you're going to cook, even if you're going to cook with it, and even if you're going to build a building, and if you're going to make a Mishkan, but still, how did you start off the whole thing with Havara? With burning something, with burning the fuel and destroying and consuming it. One would have thought that Havara can never be labeled as a Malacha because it's Kilkel. The Kamashwa on the Torah, then Havara is a Malacha. But then one can understand why some days and tases. There is an opinion of tases in some that kind of days that if you hold Havara l'lav yotzos, it's not a malacha at all. It means that there are only 38 malachas. And there's another reason, like Kulman is a separate reason, Shvizis Bento is a separate reason, Havara is a separate reason, the Taka doesn't carry over to Yomtov. It doesn't carry over to Yomtov. And even the other opinions and tases who hold that it does carry over to Yomtov, doesn't necessarily mean that they hold not like this sheep. It could be that they're also masking that there are 38 malachas and Havara is a separate Isur. It could be that they hold that Kumin is also their Isur on Yom Tov. Even other Isuris. Places write the Feirish like that. Several places. In fact, a few places say it right. According to the Tanna, that Kumin is their Isur, would be their Isur even on Yom Tov. The Rambam happens to hold not so. The Rambam passes that Kumin is their Isur, but Yud Beis Mil. Different opinions among the Tanaim. So one Tan is that the Kibbutz of the opinion that Kumin is Alpai Mama, 1 mil. Alpai Mama, Kumin is their ice. And that for sure we don't pass the light. As the Gemara says, all the Tanaim disagree. So it doesn't mean that nothing is their ice. So the Pasha Pshad is that Kumin is Ligamri Midirabon. That's how the Rambam passes. And he says, there is a Kumin. Kumin is Ligamri Midirabon. And the Chabad quotes the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam based on the Yerushalmi at the end of the first Perek in Erevin. But if you walk Yudbeis Mil, from Yudbeis Mil, then it'll be Kumin Derais. But the Rambam holds like that. The Rambam passes that Kumin is a separate mitzvah, the Tayyab mitzvahs. You're not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos is one din, you're not allowed to go Chutz with Kumin is another din. But the Rambam holds that Kumin is only an Issa Derais on Shabbos. It's not an Issa Derais on Yom Tov. So the only thing that applies from Shabbos to Yom Tov are the Malach. Kumin is a separate Issa, so it doesn't apply. Like some of you said regarding Kiddush. But although the Gemara says explicitly that Kiddush is derais on Shabbos, doesn't necessarily follow that Kiddush is derais on Yom Tov. And the Mishnah says like that. Yesh omrim that Kiddush on Yom Tov is lav derais. From the Rambam would appear that Kiddush on Yom Tov is derais. But the Magen Mishnah quotes the Feirish that Kiddush on Yom Tov is lav derais. So that's so there are three different opinions. If one holds that Kumin is derais on Shabbos, so some hold it's only on Shabbos, not even on Yom Kippur. said the Rambam, it's not even on Yom Kippur. Rav Daniel Ababli disagrees with the Rambam. He says, no, Shabbos and Yom Kippur exactly the same thing. So Tumin is Derais on Shabbos, it has to be Derais on Yom Kippur. And the third opinion is Shita Tatesis, that if your Tumin is Derais on Shabbos, it's Derais and not only on Yom Kippur, also it's even Derais on Yom Kippur. There's an extra favorite like that. Shati and Gemaris and Ipsukim. Working on the assumption that Tumin is Derais even on Yom Kippur. So it could well be that even the other opinions in the Tesis, and saw him on that panel base, that the other day is told that even if Havorah Lelav Yotzos, this is still applies even to Yom Kippur. Doesn't necessarily mean that they hold like the Mechastinah is convinced with the Shagasari, that it has to be a Malacha. It's a Malacha, but just it's a Malacha, and we just removed the Chorus and the Nisa with the Chatos. No, it could be that they also mask, and it's not a Malacha at all, it's a separate Nisa. There are only 38 Malachas, and there's a separate Nisa of Havor. But, just like Tumim, Tesis' opinion is that if Yom Tumim is their Isa, it's not limited up to the Shabbos, it even applies to Yom. So Havor also applies to Yom, even though it's a separate Nisa. Could be that everything on Shabbos applies to Yom. And the Klichemdar, he raises a question, according to this opinion, this is all, we don't pass like this, Lala. We pass in the Havara is the Chalik Yotz, not the Lav Yotz. He raises a shayla, the Yogar Havara is the Lav Yotz, it's not the Chalik Yotz. What would we say regarding Gram Havara? The Gemara says in Shabbos that Gram Malacha is Mutter. Because we darshan the Pasuk, that it says, Kol Malacha Leisase, only Asiyahu the Asa Rahmane, Gram Asheri. The Pasuk implies only Asiyah's Malacha is Asa. Maybe you do a gram malach, it's mutam and atera, and we say it's only us in the rabbana, and we're not in the clay, and we're not in the heavens of the rubble, we're not there. So what would you say regarding havara? You know that havara is lelav yotzos, and lelav yotzos, according to one opinion in Tesis, means that it's not included in malach. It's not a malach at all. It's not that there are 39 malachas, and this malach has certain kulis on it, namely that there's no misa, there's no onshin, there's no misa, there's no chatas, there's no koris, there's only malchus. No. Perhaps it means that it's not a malacha at all, so it's not included in the pasuk that says it's not called malacha. So it's not included in that pasuk, so maybe the drasha of Asimu Yos, the Gram Ashari, shouldn't apply. This is what the Klichemda pilfers about. He doesn't quote, usually quotes everything under the sun. Klichemda, dipping with the kid. He doesn't quote, I don't know why, there's a Shilta Giborim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shilta Giborim on the side of the lid, on that Gemara, on that Kukhah. So the Gemara says that Gram Kibui is Mutam and Atara, so the Shulchan Gemara is Mesukah, whether that's a general din that applies to all the Lamatai Sabbath Malachas, or maybe some Malachas, Gram Malacha will be Asma and Atara, other Malachas, Gram Malacha will be Asma and Rabbah. Maybe you have to distinguish between the various Malachas depending on the nature of the Yisr. Exactly what that means, the Yosameach has it a little bit like that. Maybe it depends whether each and every individual malacha has to be investigated with the nature of the malacha in Issa Pu'ula or in Issa Chaloi, so to speak. In Issa, don't bring about a certain result. If it's in Issa Pu'ula, don't do this activity. And then if you do it like a grama, it's not considered an asiyah. So you would be osar, rachmana, and grama shari. But if the Issa is sort of in Issa Chaloi, don't bring about a certain result. Doesn't matter how you did it. So even like a grama, it'll be an Issa deraisa. So that's what the Shulchan Gemara is mistopic about. Maybe it's not really a drasha from a pasuk, from malacha, or sasa, simu diosa, or gramashur. Maybe it's because we investigate each and every malacha, so kibui happens to be an issa pula. Maybe half of the malachas will be an issa chalek. So if you say like that, shul be giborim, if you say this interpretation, this shul be giborim, then it really won't matter this issue, whether havor or laviyot, havor or chalek, it won't really matter regarding gram havor. It'll depend on how you'll define the nature of the issa of havor. The din of Gram Malacha is Mutter, is not limited to the Gram Malacha. The Gemara has it, can you get the other din in Masechet Shabbos also? Gram Achikas Hashem is Mutter, and I'll tell you. And Gram Sirius, the Gemara has a Machlekes, so the Yisr of Sirius applies even on the Gram. So the Ragat Shoga writes in one place that this issue as to whether Gram Yisr, the rights of the Rabbanan, depends on each and every individual Yisr, whether it's an Yisr Pula or an Yisr Halais. So in the Lamed Tzavos Malachas also, we don't necessarily have to assume like a role in Issa Pula. It could be that half of them are in Issa Pula, half of them would be in Issa Chaloi. What would be the Nakhmiya Halacha L'maisa? Then Chal Shabbos b'Farhesya Dina Kaakum. What if he goes kutz with him? That's not Mechal Shalom to the rest. Only if he violates Malachim. He violates Kuma, he violates some other prohibitions of Shabbos that wouldn't make him into Mechal Shalom to the rest. So what if he goes Havar of the Shabbos? So that's an issue that should be ten, and this issue in the Mishan. When you hold Havar Lalav Yasa, does it mean that it's not a Malach at all? But no, it is a Malach, it's just that we've removed the serious onshin. Has lighter onshin. How do we pass the law that Havara is Lalavya in Lakalakasa, not Lalavyasa? So we hold that there are 39 Malachas. There's no Shaila. Not that there are 38 and there's a separate Yisra on Moshe Barayes B'chol Meshaseh. That's why the Mother of Rome has the Kasha and the Rambam. The Rambam counts this as a separate Yisra, Moshe Barayes B'chol Meshaseh, and Yama Shabbos, a separate law. How can it be a separate law? The old Havara Lakalak Yotzos is just Megaleh. Why in the world does he count Havara as a separate law? Just Megalev, Shat, and Olam, and Tessos, Malachas. So a whole list of Akronim, all around 50 Akronim, all say the same parrot. But I remember Kasha has a long essay, we collected all the Akronim, saying that if you look in the Rambam, he tells you what he's talking about. The Sivaru Eish is not a law for Havara B'Shat, it's the law for giving reasons better than B'Shat. Different easily. Mora says in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Vav, I would have thought based on a whole series of Kavah Kaimans that Hakrov is Parbanish Manam Kavua, Adrecha Shabbos, let's say, Vink Minimum Sophim, Gemakri Van Shabbos. And so you see that Parbanish and Manam Kavua are more common than Shabbos. Is there anything that's more common than Minimum Sophim? So the Mora says, yeah, it says in Pashas Mishpatim that if someone is a Ritzayach, Nim is the Kokhen Olamus. And the Gemara understands in Sanhedrin, even if he's the only Kohen who can do the Avodas HaKorbanos, and if we're going to give him Mises Bezin, we're going to be missing that mitzvah of HaKorbanos HaKorbanos. And so what? It says in the Torah, even if he's the Kohen along with him, no one can do the Korbanos. So you see that giving Mises Bezin is very HaKorbanos called HaKorbanos Kulam. And HaKorbanos, certain Korbanos is very HaShabbos, it should be a Kalvachainer. If A is greater than B, if B is greater than C, A is greater than C, then the Mela, Mises Bezin should be very HaShabbos. Pasuk says, "Wrong." By Zavar Reish, Bechol Mosh Vasechem refers to Sreifas Das Koyin. By anybody else who happens to get, there aren't too many people who get Sreif. The Mosh is the case of a Das Koyin she's in Sreifas Das Koyin. Anybody else who's tied Sreifo. Bechol Mosh Vasechem refers to Moshe Bezdin. Doesn't refer to New York, to anywhere in the world. Bechol Mosh Vasechem refers to Moshe Bezdin. But Bezdin was not permitted to give Mises Bezdin to Shabbos. Not withstanding this Kalachimer. The Lofa says you're not allowed to give Mises Bezin. So the Rambam writes, it's not only limited after to Mises Bezin, it applies even to Malchus. What the Pasuk is telling you is that it's prohibited to give an Einish B'Shabbos. It's an Isra Eim Anish B'Shabbos. That's why some Akharim say you're not permitted to put somebody in Chayram on Shabbos. Not only by Mises Bezin because you're doing a Malacha, that the Pasuk is Megala, that the Kalvachayma is wrong. But not just any Kalvachayma, it's still a Malacha. No, the Pasuk is Megala. But even if there's no malacha at all, it's prohibited to be manish somebody b'shabbos. Even to put a cherem would be also b'shabbos of the yomim. So Rashi had a thought, maybe it should be also to make a person take knas b'shabbos of the yomim. And he said, there is to take knas. To take knas is the nisa de rabbanim. So it's piron achoy, the Gemara says, is the gzeir shem ayichto. The Gemara has in the beginning of Perek Shoyo. That's why we don't allow pigin aben on Shabbos. You think you do pigin aben without giving money? You can give a tachshit or something that's worth the chomish slot. But still, it says in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Trumas Adesh, and that Tidin Aben is Tiron Achayiv, and it's a Gzeir Hashem Ayichot. See, not like it. But that's only Nisa de Rabbanon. So that's why this was Mesutik. Maybe according to this Rambam, that there's a separate law, the Zavar Reish, prohibiting Onshin B'Shabbos, maybe Bezi forcing a person to pay Knas, there's also an Onish. It's an Onish for the Avera that he that he was ma'anis, and the fact of the person, or Moshe Shem on the person, a chati nezik, of the shortam, all of the things that are knas are an einish for the person, so maybe that would also be a violation of this. Maybe and maybe not, because it's not an einish aguf. It's not like cherem, that it's an einish aguf, a curse that the person should drop dead. Maybe you shouldn't be. That's a shayla. There's a possibility that maybe even forcing a person to take knas should be included in this.
Is the Ram saying any einish for this is misa malchus?
He gives me some markers as examples. Then the Akronim discuss the possibility of including Chayrim.
Maybe Malchus, the was, again, a similar problem of Malacha.
Malacha, right, the Magen Avraham talks about that. Maybe somebody calls this Kavala, then he says, but it ain't Tzricha L'Gufa, but he says, but the Rambam holds that in Tzricha L'Gufa is there, right? He says, maybe the Rambam holds that it's only, the love only applies to situations where you're actually doing a Malacha. And then you'll be faced with this problem, so why does he count it as a separate law? The person is just Megala, that is not there for Shabbos. So it falls back into the category of Lo Sasa Kol Malacha. So why should it be a separate law? So that's why the later Achrayim want to say, yes, for the Magen Avraham, they want to say that it's a separate Issa, not to be managed for Shabbos. But to put a person in Cherem, that would be Hetagoma. Maybe the additional love is only when there was a Malachah to be doing. Could be. That's what I heard him on the topic about. There's one time in the Gemara who derives that there are Lamed Tes Alef Malachas in the Gematria of Eile, Aleph Lamed Hei is 36. And Dvarim is 2 because it's in plural. Mi Yodravim Shnayim. Dvarim HaDvarim. Hei HaZiyah makes it into 3. And 36 plus 3 is 39. Eile Lamed Tes Alef Malachas. So the Pnei Yeshua writes on that Gemara in Shabbos that that's only an Asmach. Because the Mishnah says that Gematrios is Taperos Lachofna. What it means, Gematria Taperos Lachofna. So what it means is that Gematria never teaches you a halach. All the gematrios the Balotern has is all part of Rosh Lachofen, even when a Kana has a gematria. It's not a not for the Midrash Atan of Rosh Hashanah. You cannot base a halacha on a gematria. And even though the Gemara learns that Stam Zir Shloshim Yom in the parts of Gemara has a machlokes Satan on the way. How do you know that there's a din of Stam Zir Shloshim Yom? First he says, Harini Nazir, that's observing Zir for a minimum of 30 days. Then he says, Harini Nazir for 10 years, stuck for 10 years. But if he doesn't say one way or the other, he says, how many knows it for 5 minutes? The Ramacha says he has to observe the Jews for a minimum of 30 days. How do you know? The one opinion in the Gemara is, based on the Gematria, that it says, Kodesh Yihyeh, Gadil Peres HaRosh, Yihyeh, the Gematria, Klos and Habit. It's 30. The first Peres of Moses. So the Rambam writes that that's only an Asmach. The Rambam in the Tirish HaMishnayis writes that that's not a real Drosha Gemara. And the Rambam writes also in the Sefer HaGulo, of the Gematria of the Noshantan, Parshas Rosh Chana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sokos HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Israel, Shehiglam HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Makir the Bais Rishon 2 years before the Gematria of the Noshantan, because if he would have waited till the full Nevuah would have been fulfilled, the Noshantan Baretz, Vishtat, Masis, and Tesla, etc., then he would have really suffered in his own trouble. Like this, he gave us a break. The Rambam says he doesn't think that he really had a tradition on the Gematria of the Noshantan. They knew it in Grimm, then the Chulim Bais Rishon was going to take place, and then they were surprised to see that it took place 2 years before. So he doesn't believe that that's true. They had a tradition that there's somewhere a remnant in this parish of Rosh Chana for the Chulim, when the Chulim is going to be, but they didn't know until Lachar HaMaisa. After the Chulim Bais Rishon, then they searched and they found the Gematria of the Noshantan. He says he doesn't believe that any Gematria is really a Yachud. I think that Yeshua says he will, even though this time is learning out a din. Halacha that they're Lamed Tes Alef Malacha. Even though three of them are so similar, the Gemara says Zera Bera Merakid are so similar, they really should have counted as one. The Gemara says no, they counted as three. And the Chayat Nichato is Zera Bera Merakid. So it's Halacha over here. It's not just to remember that they're 39. Shaltidin, if you did all 39, you Chayat 39 Chato. It's still a Malacha for him. So one time it sounds like he's learning enough in the Gematria, Eila Hadvarim, Van Hadvarim, Eila Hadvarim, the Gematria. The Yeshua says that that's not the real Yalkut. This is not the Malacha. Gemara learns that different dinim from the pasuk that says that when they brought the trumas hamishkan, kol nadiv libo yiviyeho, is trumas Hashem. So one halacha the Gemara learns that in shvuas is that usually a shvuah is only binding if a person pronounces it with his lips. Kol asher yivatei ha'odem shvuah. Nefesh kisishov levatei b'sfasayim. So it's perish levatei b'sfasayim. You have to pronounce it with your lips. Zama b'libo shmuah says zama b'libo. I made up my mind to accept a certain shavuot, it's not binding itself all to the source. It's not binding until I pronounce it with my lips. But nonetheless, when it comes to truma, the truma samishkan, it says the feirish, kol nadiv libo, that it's chal b'machshava. The same story about hakrashas truma, that the farmers do, because it says v'nechshav lachem shemaskan. But the Mori in Egyptian, I'm not flaming out with you. Mori learns out from the Pasuk. One time, Abelazah ben Gamla, and that's how he passed, he learns out from the Pasuk in the end of Parshas Korach. V'nechshav lachem shemaskan, chadogen min agor, v'chamle min ayeke, v'nechshav means that Shuma has been tell us in the Machshava. So it's not saying, and besides there, he has in mind that he wants this to become Shuma. It's called the Machshava. This is a question in Rishon, exactly how far does this go? These are exceptions to the rule. Shuma is an exception to the rule. And here in the Nidvas HaMishkan is an exception to the rule. So that's the question, exactly how far does it go? The Russian Tainus quotes the name of Rabbi Natan, that if a person is in the Kabbal Tainus delay, if a person dominates Mincha, you always have to be in the Kabbal Tainus Mincha before, at least Mincha before. You can't be in the Kabbal Tainus by Myra that's going to pass that day, because they already began. You have to be Kaveh the day as the Yom Tainus before the day begins. Mars is at least by Mincha. The Kabbal Tainus on Shabbos for Sheni Lachamishi B'Sheni is also good. It has to be at least by before the end of the previous day. But the Rosh has in first Perek and Tainus a quotation, the name of the Rabbi Natan, but if the person dominates Mincha at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, he has in mind that he wants to be in the Kabbal Tainus in Mokka. Even though he didn't pronounce it with his lips, this pasuk from the Zibo applies. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim, exactly the three versions, exactly what did the Rabbi Natan mean to say. Some Rishonim say that the Rabbi Natan only limited his remarks to Tainus, because the Tainus is like Hakrovus Parbonus. The Gemara says in Brachas, in the second Perek of Brachas, that a person with this on a Tainus, the fact that he loses a little weight and he loses a little blood and a little fat, is considered, should be considered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he had offered a carbon on the Mizbeach and Zarek Adam and Makta the Chel of HaMikah. So if it's like, considered like a carbon, it's mamish like carbon, just like Homodig Liboy by Kotche Berek Habay, so the same is true by Kotche Mizbeach, that if a person is Menader Balei, or Magdish Balei, the HaKadosh will be found. Other Rishonim took the Rabbein HaTam a little more extended, and they said that all Nidrei Mitzvah Chal B'Machshav. Not only Nidrei Hegdish and Nidrei Tainus, because Tainus is Dinuk Karbin, but all Nidrei Hegdish are Chal B'Machshav. So that's what a person does in Minik Toys. Minik Toys is binding Mitam Nether. Pronounce the nether, and if he doesn't pronounce it, even though it's gamar b'libo, it's not binding. But what if the person only said a half a sentence? He didn't say a full sentence. He didn't say explicitly what he wants to be in the kabbal b'nether. So I would have thought that it's not binding because it starts with the sasa. So it's mashma on the mishnah. We learn out from sukkim that yesh yad l'nether. So he said an incomplete sentence, and we can more or less figure out from what he said what he didn't say. So we can guess the end of the sentence, even though he didn't say it. So that's sufficient. That's considered as if he did say it. But if the Rabbein HaTam holds that a nether is chal b'lev, so what does the Mishnah have to tell me that yesh yad in the dark? It's chal even without a yad. You don't even need a yad. A yad means that the yad is considered a handle to a pot, the Rabbi explains. A yad to yadus hakelim. If you have a pot and you have a handle, that's a way to hold on to the pot without actually holding it like this. Hold on to the handle. It is a handle to a lashon on nether. Even though he didn't say a full nether, he said an incomplete lashon, and that's considered as if he had kilu. He had said... Kilo Hudson repeats the whole nether. But if you're going to say that Rabbi Natan opened up the hole, he says Nadig Lima means that Nadarim don't need Lamat to this time, only Shavuot. So if all Nadarim don't need Lamat to this time, why need a Chiddush of Yadpo? So the Achrayim say that it's not a Kasha. Not a Kasha. Because a lot of Achrayim have a notion that, let's say, by Hegdish, where you don't need Amira, it's called the Machshava by Truma, where you don't need Amira. Let's say by, we just spoke the other day, by Pigul, we're talking about Pigul, there's a Machlokes in Rishonim, whether Pigul needs Amira or is sufficient with Machshava. So what happens if the Kohen who's doing the Hakorvus Hakorvim decides that he wants to make Pigul, he makes a declaration of Pigul? So then the Gemara says, Beferish, we discussed the Lashon that he used. What are we discussing the Lashon? If people that thought the Machshava, Dami Hapa the Lashon. Forget about the Lashon. There's a whole discussion when it's post Lashon Rishon, it's post Lashon Akron, and the people are also in the middle of Sochim. What's the difference with the Lashon? Dami Hapa the Lashon. He made people the Machshava. So the Achareim will point out, Meir Arik and then the Sameach and many others point out that the Gemara in Shavuos that Kotev says the Beferish. And even if you hold that a neder would be chal b'machshav, even if people would be chal b'machshav, and hegdish would be chal b'machshav, you don't need amira. That's only if he didn't plan to have an amira. But if he planned to say an amira, and he never krech tzois, he doesn't krech tzois the amira, he never gets to say it. Since he planned to do an amira, then it won't be chal b'machshav. So that's the chiddush of Yadis Nedarf. True, if a person makes a neder b'lei, the neder would be binding, perhaps the point of Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan quoted by the Rosh, that literally, kindness achal b'lei is not limited to dafke kindness, but kindness is dinik tefar. It's not limited to dafke to nidre mitzvah. It even applies to nidre harushu. That's one version that the Rishon had. Rav Kaimer reported that not the Yezim. He quotes it from the Tishri Mari. That's how he's understanding the Rabbi the Tam was. It only goes achal the machshava. But nonetheless, what if he plans to pronounce the neder with his lips, and then he bungles it up and he doesn't say it correctly? Then it wouldn't be chal, even though he was makabel and erev machshava. But if he claims to say the dibur and he never gets around to say it, it wouldn't be chal. That's why I need a mishnah to tell me that at least if he said a yad is nadarim, a yad is good enough. A yad is considered a full loss. So that's one thing that the Gemara learns out from the pasuk. It's on the dibur that shumas ha-mishkan is chal b'machshava. The question, how far you go with this exception to the rule? Unlike the din that you need nefesh to show about the b'sasam, he's a yotzim in akron. How far does it go? Does it only apply to karbonis? Does it apply to nidrei tainus? Does it apply to all the nidreis? Or does it apply even to nidrei harishim? There's three, four different opinions in the Rishonim how far the pasuk goes. The Gemara, the end of the first parak in the Mishnah, the end of the first parak in Chagiga, the last Mishnah, the first parak in Chagiga says that hataras nadarim. The Mishnah says there are different parts to Torah. There are some things that a mamish Torah should stop. There's the Torah in the Chumash. Then there are other parts of Torah. Then there are other things that the Torah should be alpeh that it can mock the Torah in the Pasuk. You don't have to be medayik so much. Then there are things that are you have to be medayik a lot. Then there are things that the mamish elohim al mesha yismot. There's mamish absolutely no mocker at all from the Chumash. There's purely halacha mosh mitzvah. The Mishnah gives such an example is. The Mishnah gives the example, let's say, in Yonei Tzaras. In Yonei Negoim of Tzaras, so the Mishnah says, everything is Kemat Beferish and Iksim. And if you have any Shaila, Torah Shabbat Peveh too, but if you have any Shaila, the Gemara says, look back in the Psukim and you'll be able to darshan it all on your own. You'll be able to reconstruct the Dinim. Because everything is so written out so much by Rithas, it's very light Torah Shabbat Peveh. Everything is Kemat Beferish. Then the Gemara says that Hilcha Shabbos is not so. Hilcha Shabbos is Kaharon HaKulim B'Saira. We learn that. Lashka Shabbos, Yimamayit in the Kalka, Yimamayit Kalach HaYad. All kinds of fancy brushes. Yeah. So many dinim that are based on just a phrase, a word, a letter in a Chumash. Eila HaDvorim, all kinds of brushes. And then you have other things that are mamish, even less than Haron HaKulim B'Saira. Eila HaMamash Yismoko at all. And the Mishnah gives an example, HaTaras Nidorim. That has no Mokra Chumash at all. So then the Gemara has a whole list of Tanoim and Amoraim who disagree with that Mishnah. At the end of the first paragraph in Chagiga, they hold it's not true. But there is a Pasuk in Chumash, there are Navi, or in Suvim, and they various Tanoim and Amoraim, Darshan from Sukkim, that there is an institution of Hataras and Dar. So one of the drushes that we probably don't accept, usually assume that the Hataras and Dar is all Elohim Alesh Yismoka, Kodesh Malpeh. But one of the Tanoim Darshans for this Pasuk, it's called Nadiv Libo Yiviyah. If he pledged in his heart and his heart is still in that same notion, then he's obligated to bring the Nadavah to the Beis HaMikdash. But if he changed his mind, then he doesn't have to bring it. What do you mean he doesn't have to bring it? Just because he changed his mind. But he obligated himself to, he pledged $100,000 to the temple campaign, to the building campaign. And now he decides he doesn't want to give so much money. So the answer is, if it's not Libo Olav and he's Mata Neder, so that's the Maka for Hatarakan. It's not Bibolov, it's Mata Neder. So then he can be Mata Neder. Another Tanaim, how about the Psukim? Like this Tanaim. If it's based on a Pasuk, which Pasuk is it based on? Pasuk says that the women donated a lot of their tachshitim for the purposes of the Beis Hamikdash. They had a lot of gold and silver that their husbands had given them. So the pasuk says, "Vayivayuha anoshim al anoshim." The men were chasing after their wives when they were donating the stuff to the Beis Hamikdash. Why were the men chasing after their wives? But they shouldn't give so much. The Medrash assumes that the women were more interested in giving. The men gave to the Egel. The women didn't give to the Egel. But the women, when they heard about the Beis Hamikdash, a holy cause, so the women ran and they gave. And they gave to the Beis Hamikdash, and the men followed them. It sounds like the women came first, and the men were schlepping off behind them. What were the men schlepping off? So the Sfarno has a comment that later Achronim discussed. But the Gemara says in the end above a comment that if a Meshulach comes to the house, and the wife wants to give him some large donation, the Meshulach is not permitted to accept it. Because Paul Mashikan Siyishikanaba, unless the wife has her own bank account, so she's giving from her own treasury. But if she's giving from the husband, she has a joint account with the husband, and then the halacha probably assumes the Paul Mashikan Siyishikanaba. So she has no right to give large donations. If it's a small donation, so it's nidalei to the husband to give a small donation. But something that's a large amount of money, she has to have the permission of the husband. So that's what the Sforno claims was going on over here. That the women were running to give the tachshikim to the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu would have not accepted it if not for the fact that the men came along with their wives, and then when the wives were prepared to give it away, the men said, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, you can take it. We must have. We give authorization. If they wouldn't have given authorization, it would have been Zayla. Sukkim described the way everything was given to the Beis Hamikdash. Then it says the way they set everything up. It says in one of the psukim that they made the shulchan and they put on the lechem upon it. By Yosef Masalech. The mistake of Moshe Zikainen by one of the Bali Ateses on Kumish, she quotes a sifrei from my Kumish Dvarim, the Trans Dvarim. It says the Farish that during the Aboim Shalom and the Midbar they never brought Lechem upon them. The mitzvah Lechem upon them only began after they came in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, you couldn't understand, how can it be? Against the Pasuk of Kumash. He says he always thought that it must be a Tos Sefer. Sefer lists off three or four mitzvahs that began Mishanichnasi Yisrael Oretz, and one of them is Lechem upon them. So he thought it must be a Tos Sefer in the Sefer. Till he came to learn by Rabbi Victor Cohen Zedek, one of the Balei Ateses. And he presented him with this kasha, and he said he always thought, this Talmud always thought that it must be a Torah Sefer. So he says, Rabbi Avigdor Katz told him, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Torah Sefer. It could well be. It's a phrase against the Gemara, that's for sure. That's what he quotes. The Gemara has the Farish of Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and someone else, not Ishmael, or Shubhavavia, or Shubhavavia. Machlekes Amaroyim, when they had the Lechem Aponim in the Midbar, and then they had Nisiyas HaMachnos. So when you take the lechem aponim outside of the azara, it would be nifsal b'yotze. Kachikachim on nifsal b'yotze. Every carbon has a makom. If you take it chutz from koma, it becomes nifsal b'yotze. Even if you put it back, it's no good. You're not allowed to eat it anymore. So the makom of kachikachim is the azara. If you take it chutz l'azara, it would be nifsal b'yotze. Even if you bring it back in, it's no good. You're not allowed to eat it. Kachim kalim, the makom is Yerushalayim. So if you take it chutz l'Yerushalayim, or chutz l'machna Yisrael, the mitzvah. Take it chutz l'machna Yisrael, even if you bring it back in, it's already nifsal b'yotze. It's tafan. You can't eat. So the Gemara has a machlokes amaroyim in the end of Menachos when they were the end of Zvachim, when they were traveling in the Midbar, and they rolled up the Urios and they took everything apart. So there was no azara, there was no hechel, because the lechem aponim was yachal chutzim kama. There's no more hechel. There's nothing. But then when they a day or two later, when they put the whole mishkan back together again, they put the lechem aponim back on the shulchan. Do I say that it was nitzal b'yotzei? Or can she say this there? Or should I say no? That since it says the Nasa Olmoy, Besech HaMachanois, what do you mean Nasa Olmoy? It doesn't have a status of Olmoy, everything is taken down. So one Olmoy in the Gemara Darshans, Afidu B'Shaas HaMasos, it has a status of Olmoy, not Kibine, that the Lechem HaPonim is not Nisla B'Yed. So that's a Machlokes HaMoraim, the end is wrong. So you see, the Gemara assumes the Farish that there was Lechem HaPonim in the Midbar. Alright, so the Gemara's assumption. So the Sifrei can disagree, but the Shah is a Pasuk and Kudush. At the end of the Kudush, it says, Vayasa Nasa Lechem. So how can this phrase say against the Pasuk and Chumash? So this is the Bala Tesis writes that when he went to learn by the Rabbi Avigdor Katz, he tells you which city, too. I didn't do that. He tells you which city in Germany he learned by. The Rush, the Shubhasa Rush, I was close to Rabbi Avigdor Katz. One of the later Bala Tesis. As he went to learn by him, he asked his kashas, so he said right away, that's not a kasha. The pasuk says Vayasa Nasalecha, maybe that was only day number one for the purpose of Chanukas ha Mishkan. You have to be mechanech everything. So how are you mechanech it? So the Gemara says the mizbeach hachitzan, you have to be mechanech by bringing the talmud shel shachar. The ner you mechanech by habakas haneiros. And the shulchan you mechanech by putting on the lechem upon him. On Shabbos, and maybe, but the Sefer says that all the Avayim Shana Bar Midbar, there was no Lechem Aponim, then I hope, they didn't have against the Babli. There was no Lechem Aponim, for some reason or another. It says here there was Lechem Aponim, that was only on the first week, the first Shabbos, for the purpose of making Chanukas HaShulchan, otherwise they wouldn't have it in Shulchan. But once they did the Chanukas HaShulchan, they did no longer fulfill the mitzvah of Lechem Aponim during the 40 years of the Midbar. It's a little strange, no? Did a Chanukas HaShulchan, they put Lechem Aponim solely for the purpose of Chanukas HaShulchan, not for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah. I thought the din is that Avodasa Mechan Chosam, when you do the Avodah, if you have a mitzvah to do the Avodah, then the Avodah is Mechanachet. But if the din is that in the Midbar there's no mitzvah of Lechem Aponim, so how can you do Lechem Aponim just for the purpose of Chanukah? The Chinuch HaShulchan. That's what he writes. Moshe was kidding, quotes another, he quotes a lot of Abira Chasid there. He quotes Abira Chasid was bothered with the Kasha there. It says that when they made the when they made the Digni Kuma, and they made the Tzitz for the Kangaroo, so they wrote Vayichtavu Ala Mikta Pituchei Chayitim Kodesh Lashem. They wrote Kodesh Lashem on the Tzitz. So it says Vayichtavu. Who is this Vayichtavu? It's saying Vayichtav, everything Vayas, Yas. Everything is Lashon Yochid. Why all of a sudden over here is Vayichtavu? It says the Teretz is obvious. You know, first it's the Teretz is obvious. And Tavish Vidusha needs a minion. When you're writing the Shemus HaKadoshim, the Sefer has to have nine people there. So he says, who are the nami? When you write a Sefer Teretz, still going to be Zuzu. Sefer, of course, has to go to Mikra before he writes the Shemus, as it says in the Masechet Sefer. But then, in addition to that, as it says in the Chumash, Vayichtavu, wasn't it Vayichtavu? He wrote, whoever, B'tzalo, or Haliyah, or Moshe Rabbeinu, whoever was with him, he wrote in the presence of another nine people, says, called Vayichtavu, because you need a minion. So, who are the nami? When you write a Teretz Kodim Mezuzi, you need a minion present every time you write a Shem Hashem. So, Chadav Shabidu, Shem Chadav Shabidu, Shem Chadav Shabidu, Shem Chadav. Never heard that? It's an original. Always rely on the Rabbi Rachasid to come up with something like that. An original interpretation. All based on the word Vayichtavu. And the Gemara says in the Perish in the end of the Zvachim that they did bring on the Lechem Aponim issue. The Gemara says in the Perish that they did bring Lechem Aponim. The only issue that the... somehow nobody's aware of this betrayal with this Moshe Tzkein. It's just printed recently, Tzavya. Around 15 years ago. Stella Sassonix from London, I think, made it by Mitzvah, the sons. They printed this manuscript from his Eastern manuscripts. They printed the manuscript on the occasion of the Bar Mitzvah, and he gave it out to all the participants. But traditionally, everybody assumed, like it said in the Gemara, that there was Lechem Aponim. The only issue that they debated was the Lechem Aponim in the Shiva's Yimei Amiluim, the last 7 days in Chodesh Adar. Or did the mitzvah of Lechem Aponim only begin after Rosh Chodesh Nisan? What's the issue? There's a Tosefta Menachos, it says the Perush. That there was no Lechem Aponim, she was in the Amiluim. Because Rashi quotes from the Pasuk. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Pshat in the Pasuk. Every day Moshe Rabbeinu put the Mishkan together and he took it apart. Put it together and took it apart every day. So what do you mean? He's going to put on the Shmini in the Amiluim. It says what Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Yom Nochol Eser HaTorah. The Esser HaTorahs were, it was the first day of the week. It was Sunday. So when did they put on the left matanim? Erev Shteidish. It was Sunday, it was Shteidish Nissan, so they put on Erev Shteidish. But they knew every day it's going to be taken apart and put together, taken apart and put together. See, that's why the Tosefta says in an office that it does make sense to put lechem aponim. There are 40 years that they're traveling in the Midbar. They put lechem aponim on Shabbos. Ah, they may have to travel in the middle. They'll travel. They'll see what they'll do with the lechem aponim. They'll argue out the machlokes of Yechon and the other one, whether the lechem aponim will be kosher or not. But at least now on Shabbos, from the viewpoint of Shabbos, looks like the shulchan is going to be here indefinitely. They put on lechem aponim. But in the Shivas Me'anulun, what are you going to put on? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it doesn't make sense. Shabbos is going to put on the lechem aponim, the last day in the Shivas Me'anulun. Shabbos is going to put on lechem aponim. But you know you're going to take it apart and put it back together again. So why should you put it on the first place? That's what the Tosefta says. That the Shivas Me'anulun, there was no lechem aponim. Lechem aponim mitzvah began after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan was a Sunday that year. That's how Rashi quotes from the Medrash. Also Yom Malka Lesser Ataris. It was the first day that Akoyim did the Avodah, and the first day of the week, and the first day of the first month. The first, 10 different firsts. In 10 different areas it was the first. Esser Ataris. So from that time on, 7 days later was Shabbos. Sunday was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So on the 7th of Nisan was Shabbos. And that Shabbos they put on Ahmadah. And there's a Ramban HaChumash later, it's not here. The Ramban is in Bamidbar somewhere, where the Ramban just casually writes, according to that, writes casually, Moshe Rabbeinu took care of everything in the Shivas Me'anulun, because Aaron and Avraham only were introduced to do Avodah on the Shmini Me'anulun, starting from the Shkodesh now. So what exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He says, no, he did everything. He did the Lech Matan, he did the whole work. So that's what they discussed. What do you mean he did the Lech Matan? You need to say the Ramban forgot to possess in the office. The mother of Shemuel wouldn't be Akasha, but the Ramban is out of it. The Ramban is dripping with Bikis. If you read him, Mohammed, he quotes one word in Atasephim, one word in Ayushalmi, and starts putting things together. So that's a BS. How can the Ramban have forgotten Atasephim in office? It says that there was no Lechem upon him in the Shiris Memory. So the Techenda has a whole circle about this. No, the Ramban held this, the Machloj Satanoim, and held like the other time. So all these questions, what the issue was. After the Shiva Chinami Luim, did Moshe Rabbeinu continue to do Avodah? So the Gemara in Zvachim around that Tzfuf and so on. It has a Machlokes HaTanoim. Did Moshe Rabbeinu only have the status of a Kohen for the Shiva Chinami Luim only as a Hayro Ashur? Or did he remain with the status of a Kohen the Yom Kippur? So here there's a problem that the Mephoshim point out. It says at the very end of Pikudei, after Shvi, Vayasem Asakir, Aaron and Avonah, Aaron and Avonah was only after the Shmini Me'anulun. When was Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu was only before, according to one opinion. So they never had it all at the same time. So what's going on here? So if you hold that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to do Avodah, if the Shmini Me'anulun didn't have to, but if he wants to, he may do Avodah. He's also a Kohen. So then it's Nicha. But if you hold that Moshe Rabbeinu only had a Din of a Kohen as a Hayru Ashur for the Shivas Me'anulun, and after the Shmini Me'anulun Man, Ois Kohen, so how do you read this pasuk? So the Moshe of the Canaan, this Bala Tosis writes it to you. If I'm not mistaken, I think I saw the Stifle of Sun was Mechavan also. He printed the statement before this Ksavya was printed, so that's how he saw it. He's Mechavan also to this. That's exactly what the Gemara in the second paragraph of Zvachim was bonded with. How do you read this pasuk? This is never at the same time. The Rochets of the man of Moshe, we are Haran Avon, Mr. Deinus Ragwein. Moshe Rabbeinu was only doing the Shivas Me'anulun, and Aaron Avon was only after the Shmini Me'anulun. The Gemara Taka learns out a different din from the pasuk. Rashi on Zvachim says that. They never washed their hands at the same time. The pasuk means to tell you the size of the kiyor. The kiyor is a container that has water in it. It has to have so much water enough to wash the hands and the feet of four kohanim. Even though you don't have to wash four kohanim the last half, it's only washing one of the times, so you fill it up with more water later. What's the problem? No. The pasuk is telling you, how much mayim, enough mayim, that it should be berachah to be made of Moshe, the Aharon, these two people, Uvana, even though Aaron had four sons. Aaron had four sons. It turned out later that their two sons died. But when this pasuk was written, the two sons hadn't died yet. So how come the Gemara Darshan, Moshe V'Aaron, Uvanov means two sons? Why should it have been six? You should require enough water in the kiyor to wash six kohanim. Moshe V'Aaron, Uvanov is four sons. Somehow the Gemara understands that's where the Torah means. Somehow the Gemara understands that Vanav is plural. It doesn't say how many, even though we know the Maisa that he has four sons. Vanav is plural, and near Rav Mishnah, so it's only two. So the Torah wants to say if it's a Charifas, he wants to say that there's one opinion in the Medrash, that why did the Shnei B'nai Aharon die? Not about you, what was their sin? So there's different opinions. There's Shkulia Yayim, or because they know how long the Shnei Rav, it's very unclear. So there's one opinion in the Medrash that they did avoid it without Kiddush Adam Avar. So he says, oh, that's what this drush is. Rosh Kamen and Rosh Aviyar and Avonov, the two washed their hands, the other two didn't wash.
Yeah, they paid for the eighth day.
Yeah, they didn't know that until the eighth day, that's the cash. Okay. That's his charitas, the 13th of Rosh. Maybe quote it from someone. So that's what the emotion of the Canaan writes, and the Spatum of Sun writes, and the Sefer Tamini Kor. That the Gemara exactly in the second parak in Zlachim, the Gemara has a whole study about the Dinam of Kiddush Lanar, right? So that's exactly the Drosha. How can it say Rosh and Menah Moshe the Aaron of Vanu, say they must have and this never happened. Moshe only did Avoid the Gemara Shivish Me'an Elun. Aaron of Vanu only did after the Shemir Elun Elun. So how can they be put together on Pasuk? The answer is, the Pasuk is only telling you the shear of the Mayim, that the kear has to be so big that it should contain so much water, enough to wash the hands and the feet of four Kohanim. Tomorrow in Brachas comments on the pasuk, "Yei parasa b'shem b'tzalal banur ben pur l'mata Yehuda." What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the tzalal was the right man for the job. What does it mean? Yehu parashem b'shem, Yei parasa b'shem. What is he telling B'nai Yisrael for? So the Gemara says in Brachas that even, let's say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the biggest genius in the world, and he knows that the best man for this job is b'tzalal, but still, that he should be appointed without the Haskam of Klal Yisrael is not permissible. Well, let's say a man is a president of an institution. Let's say a man is a president of a big yeshiva. He decides he wants to appoint a menayel. The menayel retires. He wants to appoint a new menayel over all the rebbe. And the president is such a super genius, he knows who the best menayel is. And he appoints him without consulting with the rebbe. So that's Kenegan Hazim. Well, let's say there's a community, and they have a lot of balabatim in the community. You might appoint a rabbi in the community. And there's a neighboring community, there's a Kaimoza, whatever, there's one of the world's biggest genius, and he knows the best rabbi for that community is David Rabhan. The best guy in the world is Flaming Ben Flaming. Does he have the right to appoint the rabbi without consulting with the Balabatim? Well, the Balabatim know, I know better than them. I should appoint without them. They're going to make a mistake. They don't know what they're talking about. No, that's not halacha. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew the best man for the job was the Talmud, nevertheless, he says, Rei Karasi B'Shem and Ru Karashem, B'shem B'tzalel ben Remechu, I'd like to appoint him, do you give approval? So B'nai Yisrael had to give their approval to the Rabban Shlom. They had to say, okay, we'll agree to your appointment. But without agreeing to the appointment, it's improper. So that's halacha, that Achusa D'Yara came Achusa D'Rekir, Achusa D'Rekir came Achusa D'Yara, the same thing. The way we run our government in Yonin, Boilem Azeh, has to be the same way the Rabban Shlom runs his government also. It's the same, not only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it, he knows that they're all going to agree with him. So neither he can offer. No, it's the din even when we do it. It's the same din. You're not permitted to appoint a person to a position of Sarara over others without getting their approval. That's Allah and Shulchan Aruch. There is a Takana Tachihilus that the Tumim quotes in Peshavis. Right, that 150 Rishonim signed on a Cherem that you're not permitted to appoint a Rav to a community without the Haskamas Hatzilu, because we used to bribe the Goyish government. We used to bribe the board of directors of the community of the shul. Yeah, bribe the Rosh HaKol in order to get appointments. Let's say there was a balabas, a wealthy balabas in the community, had a son-in-law who was a rabbi, and wanted a son-in-law to become the rabbi, so he would give a big donation to the kehillah, whatever, and he would insist that they should appoint his son-in-law as a rabbi. And that would finish it up. They needed money, so he would donate money, so they would appoint him without consulting the people. So that's what 150 Rishonim signed. It's in the Chumash Maharam Ritmer to have this, with all the signatures. Of 150 Rishonim signed the Cherem, that you're not about to appoint a rab without the Das HaKol. So the Chavetzel Vasashem and other Rechaim point out, this is not just a Cherem from the Bali Yatayim. This learned out from this Pasuk in Chumash. That you're not permitted to be the man of Parnas Al HaTzibur, Evan Kamen Vach and Bahem Tchilo. Even the Tzalo, who wasn't even so much appointed over the Tzibur, a kind of Israel that it's even he was in charge of all the workers who are going to do the Melachat HaMishnah. Still, even in such a case, it's called Israel Rati. You have to have the consult, you have to have the consent of the chief. Certainly, by a rabbonis or something else. I don't think so. The Israel is only in charge of the karbonis. I don't think he has any Israel over the chief. I imagine you would have to consult all the Kohanim. Imagine you have to have the approval of the Kohanim. That's a shaila that Tosis raises. Tosis in Yuma, that you base, quote for Yerushalmi. But the Kongrodel is appointed, he's Misman of the Pair, so even in the Stalik of the Pair. Whoever appointed him can fire him. He can fire a Kongrodel. There's a Mishnah that talks about firing a Noah. So the question is, who can fire the Kongrodel? The same guy who appointed him. Who appointed the Kongrodel? That's the place there. Who appointed the Kongrodel? Places is guessing, so they think. Echaba Kohanim, the other Kohanim, they have to vote, the Hedrin, they're not sure, I guess. But Mitzam Echaba Kohanim, you certainly need their approval because it's a Srara over there. But I don't know if it's a Srara over the Tzibur. I don't know exactly what is the Srara of the Tzalal over here. Why was Bitzalal's name Bitzalal? So the Gemara says, Bitzel Kel Halisa. Rashi quotes, just like the shadow is the opposite, the reflection. If you look in the mirror, so what's on the right side is really on your left side. Opposite. But the Tzalal was also, he was the tail kill. He saw the reflection. That's what his Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu called over the Tzibur Hashem, they should make Kelim and they should make a Mishkan. And the Tzalal didn't do that. First he made the Mishkan, then he made the Kelim. And then Moshe Rabbeinu asked him, what do you do? So he said, it doesn't make sense. Where am I going to put the Kelim? So then Moshe Rabbeinu said, hey, you pack it right. And then he realized that was pack it at Tzibur Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't understood the Tzibur Hashem. So that's what he said, the tail kill how you saw. You realize that what I saw the Nebu was a reflection of what Hashem said. It's the opposite. You have to first make the Mishkan and then make the Kelim. That's the Gemara that Rashi quotes. So the Chassam Sofer, in one of his chuvas, Michael Garachayim, quotes, you hardly ever quote from Nath Nadia. He just is always Korea Mishtach with him, always his Rebbe's, greatest God Laudah who ever lived, Rabbi Nachman Nami, but he hardly ever quotes on him, rarely quotes. So he quotes one kasha that he had on this thing, and he says, he didn't understand what's going on over here. And after the Tzalal did it, then everything was okay. This problem was solved. How was it okay? But the Medrash says that he finished everything Chanukatan. And they didn't put it together until, they didn't put the Mishkan together. Until the end of Chodesh Adar, everything was sitting around anyway. So what did he accomplish? What? If he would have put up a Mishkan, and then after he puts up the Mishkan, then every time he makes it clean, he puts it right away into the Mishkan. It wasn't. He had Kroshim and Kroshim and Amudim and Urias and this, and everything was just sitting there. In the sun. Some was baking and everything. They made the Manarid and the Shulchan and the Manarid. Everything is sitting there. And they still didn't put it together for a couple of months. There's still a Fizoya. Everything is Mukul Kinadeva for the Fizoya. So what are the accomplishments? The whole backwards and forwards in the reflection? Still sitting around outside. So Nas Nadler, he quotes what Nas Nadler said. No, the parrot is, they didn't do the Mashiach until later. Told man, you don't do the Mashiach to be Mekadosh. That's not a Shulchan. It's not a Shulchan. It's not a Menorah. It's not a Mizbeach. It's not crushing. It's nothing. It's gone as Mugon. First, that's what it means. Not that he first made physically, he made the Mishkan, and then he made the Kelim. No, that doesn't matter what he made first. He first did Mashiach, that's what it goes on. He did first, he put together what he was hoping at the end. And the last week, in Chodesh Adar, the first day of the Shivas Me'anilurim, the first they put together the Mishkan, and they did the Mashiach on the Mishkan, and that was Mekadosh. And then they did the Mashiach on each Kli, and as soon as they did the Mashiach on the Kli, it was Mekadosh, then they put it into the proper place in the Mishkan. So it was never sitting around, it was never Mukul B'Dizoyin, Mishan is Kadosh, Mishoshan is Kadosh. But the Kli Mishan is Kadosh, still not possible. That's what the Tzalot, that was the whole birth of the Tzalot. The end of Kli Shadot. That was part of the Tzalal's charge to do the Mashiach of Hashem and HaMishkan. One gets the impression that Tzalal was just had the school in Yerushalayim. The Tzalal, he was just he was the artist. He didn't do the Mashiach of Hashem and HaMishkan. I thought Moshe Rabbeinu did Mashiach of Hashem and HaMishkan. That's what the Chassam Sofer quotes from Nathan Adler. that it wasn't at the time that they were making it that he made the Mishkan first. No, it's not true. Everything was sitting around anyway. It goes on the Mashiach. At the end of Pikudei it says that Moshe Rabbeinu put everything together. In Shishi, beginning of Shishi, Vayokem Moshe es HaMishkan, Vayiten es HaDonah. Vayokem Moshe es HaMishkan, he put together the Mishkan. How did he do it? So I would have read Kolim. Vayokem Moshe es HaMishkan, Kolim. Pasuk Yud-Fet. Vayiten es HaDonah, he put the Adonim on the floor, and he put the Krushim in the Adonim, and he put the Rishim in the Krushim to hold it together. The Yakim is Amuda to hold the Mosta, to hold the Parashas. The Yifa says the oil, and you put the Mitzvah oil. I would have read it as a colon. The Yakim is a Mishkan colon, the Hainu. He did A, B, C. The Sfarno Ephes has an interpretation on this plus. It says no. Because it says that he did everything and it doesn't mention the Yerios. So he says, the Yakim is a Mishkan Kama, not colon. What does it mean in Mishkan? Mishkan refers to the Urias. He took these gigantic Urias and he was standing and holding Urias. And then, I don't understand, he only had two hands. Moshe Rabbeinu was holding these Urias that are 30, how big was the Mishkan? 30 amas, not sorry. 30 amas long and 10 amas wide, 10 amas tall. He's holding the Urias, and then after he's holding the Urias with the two hands, then he put the Adonim, then he put the Krushim, gigantic Krushim, put the Krushim in the Adonim. And then, because he had to first put the Urias up, so the Urias are the Mishkan. The Pesuk is referred to the Urias as the Mishkan. Because later on it says, "Vayitin es Adonim v'yesan krusha bricha v'avudah ohel nichseha ohel." What happened to the Urias? It's not the Urias. It's the first thing he did. He held the Urias up. It's like holding up wallpaper. You want to build a house, it's first hold up the wallpaper, and then put the house around the wallpaper. How can you do such a thing? I don't understand. I don't think doesn't have any sources. It just says that that's pshat in the pasuk. It's far more than that pasuk. Does the Gemara say that?
The Gemara in Shabbos saying that Moshe had to be a certain amount tall because he's the one who actually did this.
The Gemara says he was very tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did it, yeah.
He's the one who actually spread the real. I don't know. Order.
Yeah, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu did it, he was a giant. The Gemara says he was very tall. The Gemara makes a head, and if he was so tall, he had to jump up to kill Agmal HaBoshim, and he took a sword and he broke him in his shins. So Agmal HaBoshim was even taller. A giant, super giant. But still. There were special karbonis that were offered during the Shiva Imam Ilum. They were mentioned before. One of them mentioned before, and then they mentioned later again, apart from the time. They mentioned in Tetzavah, they mentioned in Tzav. That's the Shiva. These karbonis, there's a Ramban HaChumash, in the beginning of Vayikra, where the Ramban says that by Kodesh Shlomim, even though it's Nefesh Neyam and Belayla Echo, that's not Hatzila, you're supposed to eat it. The Yom HaRishon on the first day. But the Ramban has a raya in the pasuk in Pesachim. It's a machlokes in the bottom of the rift. Machlokes in the Balamor and the Raivin. Whether this is correct or not. So the Ramban HaChumash has a lot from the Raivin. The Ramban has a lot word for word that he takes from the Raivin's Pirish on the Teres Kohanim without telling you that he takes. Ramban Muhammad also a lot of times takes word for word from the Raivin's Hasavus in the Pesach Shom. The Raivin's Hasavus in the Balamor. I guess he assumed that everybody knew where he was quoting from. The time that he wrote his Pirush, everybody had a writer and they all knew he was quoting from the right. Otherwise he would have told you that he was quoting from the right. There's a lot of things that are famous in the Ramban that are really, now they're famous in the Ramban, but at the time that he wrote it, they were famous from the right. They didn't bother identifying that he was from the right. So this is also one of them. He writes in his Pirush HaChumash, but the writer writes on the bottom of the rift, on the Hasavus on the Balamon, Sochim, that a Kodesh Shlomim is what Hatshila should be eaten on the first day. Because it says, "V'hanoisa memenu v'yom hasheni perku." Hanoisa v'yom hashlishi v'esh tisuach. Why is it called noisa on the yom hasheni? It's not noisa until the yom hashlishi. The answer is because the mitzvah l'hatzilus to eat up the whole Kodesh Lama on the third day. Whatever is left over to the second day is noisa, but to the Yevid you can eat it. Noisa for the third day you can't eat it. So there was a dispute regarding this Ramban. What about a kochi kochi? So let's say a chatos and ashram is only nechel yom b'layla. So would you also say it's a hidah mitzvah lachatil tider on the third day, not before shkia, rather than tider balayla? They say no. That in question, the Gemara says the Farish in Chulin in Perek Kisi Adam that halayla hoylachachar hayoyim. Unlike in Chulin, we all know that in Shabbos Yomtiv they always announce on the radio. But the Jewish holiday will begin at sundown and go till sundown. When is sundown to sundown? Hayoyim halachachar halayla. Day begins with the layla. Shabbos begins at night. And then Hayoyim halachachar halayla. The daytime follows the layla. In Kotchin, the Gemara says in Kisa Adam, it's not so. Halayla halachachar halayla. If you bring a Kotchin Kotchin, you eat a Yom Halayla. Why did you Yom Halayla? Because the layla following the Yom belongs to that previous Yom. Kotchin is different. So would you say that this Ramban's din l'chatchila, that the Shlomim should be eaten on the Yom Harishon, should be eaten on the Yom HaSheni? Would that apply also to Bachatas and Anoshon? It should be the Dafka on Yom HaRishon means Yom before Shki as opposed to the Laila, because Laila is after Shki, so it's tomorrow. Or would you say, no, it's not tomorrow. As far as Kachin purposes, Halala HaHaHa Yom, so it's the same Yom. So this was a dispute. The Krikhendo has a whole pill full of wine as far as Chemdas Yisrael. He has a running commentary on the Sefer Mitzvot of the Rambam called Chemdas Yisrael. It's very beautiful. It's nice to always know. It's all keys, all dripping keys. But working in the Eries and Karenuras, a line in the Karenura, you know, needle and haystack. He put together all the needles. He got all the haystacks in the whole wide world, and he put all the needles together. He has a whole package full of needles. It's unbelievable. People used to gamble Torah. People used to gamble Seicha Buddha just by staying over his mind. It's unbelievable. So he had this tiddish. Just like the Ramban said by Shlomim, so the same should be true regarding a carbon contest. So Mayor Arik sent him a letter that he thinks that that's wrong. That in Kachim halayla halachachayya. So why should the Ramban lachatul apply there? The Ramban only said it by Shlomim, that you can eat it today, tonight, and tomorrow. So tomorrow is only b'di'eva. Lachatul, you can eat the whole Shlomim today and tonight. But by a contest, you eat it today and tonight. But tonight is today. It's all the same day. But the Klichenda was working on the assumption the Rav's father, Moshe Soloveitchik, didn't like the Klichenda at all. They had some kind of a fight. So that's why Rav Soloveitchik and the Rav's family, whenever you say, oh, the Klichenda, so before you say what he said, it's wrong. So they said the Klichenda says, the Rav will say right away, it's wrong. Whatever he says, they don't like it. Anyway, but he quotes. It's not, he doesn't. Sometimes he says wrong. Sometimes he says wrong. So like everybody. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong. So he works on this premise that on a chatas you have to eat it before shkia l'chatki. Rameir Arik held that he's wrong. So there's nothing to discuss. And now he says, if there is such a din that l'chatki you have to eat the chatas on the same day, rather than wait till after shkia, what if you have Yom Tov Shechali is b'Shabbos? On Shabbos, the only thing you makriv in the Beis HaMikdash is t'midim and musafim. The t'midim are two oilus and the musafim are two oilus. We have a sham shnei klaif and a sham t'midim. Two oilers, so it's an oiler, nobody eats anything from the oiler. So there's no problem, on a regular Shabbat, no problem. What if you have Yom Tov, Shkali is the Shabbat. And every Yom Tov, you bring one of the Mustafim is the Sari Lachakos. Shkhaydish Shkali is the Shabbat, so the Sari Rashkhaydish, so Siri Harigolim. So what do you do with that Chakos? Did the Kohanim eat it raw? The Kohanim eat it raw. It's a mitzvah lachatchila to eat it on the same day as opposed to waiting till after Hadomer, on the Sari Shabbat, and eating it from the Lava Malka. Can't eat it tomorrow. So either eat it on Shabbos or eat it on the Toy Shabbos. So the Kochem is working with his premise that the Ramban's Lachatzil applies even to a Chatzis to eat it on the same day as opposed to eating it at night. How can he eat it raw? So what are you going to eat it raw? That's the way. The Gemara says we have to eat the Kabbalah, so the Moshul, the Duvah, the Darsham, the Lachmachim, it has to be sleeve, the Chargul, it has to be delicious, tasting, pleasant. What are you going to eat? Raw meat? Ridiculous. So either you're going to eat it tonight or you're going to cook it today. And eat it today. Who's going to cook it today on Shabbos? So he quotes his Karen Ira, and then he found a Miri in Yuma. It says like that, that you're permitted to cook carbonus on Shabbos for the purpose of eating it on Shabbos. But that's what Amir Arik said, wasn't it? Miri, you're crazy. A Karen Ira was a Miri. They're all crazy. It's all wrong. Maybe so. There is no Lachatzil. You can eat it after Hadom. The whole thing is wild. All right, it's wild. So then he wrote, he wanted to say a chiddush. He wanted to say that even if you hold not like the Karenar, or not if you hold not like the Karenar, even if the Karenar is wrong, but he wanted to say somehow in the Shivas Imam Eloyim, it was different. In the Shivas Imam Eloyim, it was the holidays, it should be permissible to cook the korbanos on Shabbos in order to eat them on Shabbos. A wild idea. The Pashto says that he's wrong all year long, and he's wrong in the Shivas Imam Eloyim also, that you're not permitted to eat. I remember a couple of years ago we had a guest, Magid Shia from Eretz Yisrael, Blazer Shapiro. So I remember he always liked to chat the guys with these Sabarchim, the keys with the amount of time. I remember he was once walking in the street, so he asked me, what's the dinner? You like to cook the carbonis on Shabbos and other people? I said, well, then cook, man. He said, you don't remember the union, you know? He said, that's ridiculous. He said, of course it's ridiculous. He said, tell me, what do you think I know the union? He said, no, he knows it from the Kehanda. The Kehanda quotes the union, quotes all these nominees. So this also, in the footnotes on the Kehanda that were written by the son of the author, he writes that one Chassidish Rebbe, the Sakhalava Rebbe, who sent a letter to his father that this is also wrong. He says the distinction between the Shivas and the Amaduim, and all you're wrong is wrong. So he tries to defend his father. He tries to explain why maybe it doesn't make sense. He's permitted to cook the Kabbalah during the Shivas and the Amaduim. That's terrible. At the end of the parsha, it says that the Onan, representing the Shechina, was there not only at the initial Kiddush. It says when Shlomo HaMelech built the first place, I mean, there's also there was an Onan, and then the Onan went away. It was only there at the very beginning. But here, the Sfarma points out the Onan was there the whole 40 years. Because there was a stronger Hashuras HaShechina in the Mishkan than there was in the Bais Rishabat. Shani, there was Goshva. But in the Bais HaShlishi, Shibana Basi, the Swana quotes from Sukkim, there will be even a stronger demonstration of Gimish Kinna than there was in the 40 years in the Midbar. And the Pasuk says, when this Onan was there in the Mishkan, Layachol Moshe Lava Al Amoit, Shachan Olaf Onan, he couldn't enter into the Amoit. So Rashi says, how can that be? But it says the Farish in another Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu, Kasa Bechan Olaf Avon Moshe Lava Amoit. Moshe Rabbeinu did enter into the Amoit. How can I say Moshe Rabbeinu was prevented from entering? So Rashi says, Val Pasuk Rashi Shibi Yechriya Benen, Shachan Olaf Hei Onan. Kozman the Yalam Azoda. It's interesting. How do you visualize what happened here? For 40 years, Ben Yisrael traveling in the Midbar. We see an Onan. An Onan, not an Onan over there, the sky. An Onan on top of the building, and they see the building is engulfed in an Onan. And then, sometimes the Onan will go all the way up and start to move, and that means time to leave. And sometimes the Onan just lifted itself up. The Onan lifted itself up, said, Moshe Rabbeinu would walk in. Moshe Rabbeinu walks out, the Onan goes down again. So the Imam is still there. For 40 years they saw this. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Onan was covering over the oil, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't enter. The Onan would go up a little bit, Moshe Rabbeinu went in. He would go out, the Onan would cover again the oil. This was going on for 40 years. So whoever was sleeping one day, whoever was absent, whoever was in Beis HaKiseh one day, for 40 years this is going on every day. So everybody there was convinced that Moshe Rabbeinu was getting Torah and Hashemah. This was no fake. This is one of the things that they saw to say. That's how we are convinced of the truth of Torah Min HaShemayim. Because for 40 years, our forefathers saw this happen. That's the Talmud that we show in the Bali HaTosis here. The Moshe Zakeim is. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go in when the Yonah was there, only when Moshe Rabbeinu Rashi could. Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Yonah lifted himself up a little bit, then Moshe Rabbeinu went in, and when he left, the Yonah came down again and engulfed the whole Almighty. And the whole oil mine was covered over with the oil. The whole oil mine, not just because of the Russian. So how did they do Hadlakas HaMinayir every day? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go, so Kavachayim HaKaran and Baruch wouldn't go. That's what the Moshe was came, the Baba HaTaisir. So how did they do the Haktoris and the Hadlakas HaMinayir and the Lechem HaPonim? No one can walk in. So the Moshe is the Canaan says, not like Rashi. He says, no, the Yonah was only there a little bit, a couple of minutes every day, then went away. But that's not what Rashi quotes. Rashi quotes from the Tanoi. This is from the Tanoi. Only when Moshe Rabbeinu went in, the Yonah would go up a little bit, Moshe Rabbeinu would go in, he would come out, the Yonah would come down again. It was all day and all night the Yonah was here. The Taka, how did they go in to do the Avodah? So the Sfarno, not on this Pasuk, the Sfarno later in Amor talks about that Tasha. So he says, the Pasuk says that you need a Kangodl on Yom HaKippur and keep the Yonah Neroa Lakaporis. He says, it's an original interpretation. He says, the Pasuk Shah says that you need a Kain Gadol on Yom Kippur, by Avodah Shem HaKippur. So he says, no, you need a Kain Gadol because Ki Bi'onan Eroa Lakaporis, whenever there's an Onan, it's a different Onan. There was an Onan from the smoke. That wasn't the cloud, that was a different, it was an Onan. But he says, you see from that Pasuk that he said, whenever there's an Onan, the only Kain Gadol is permitted to enter. So he says, Enochanami, during the 40 years in the Midbar, even though Hadlokas HaMenoyre, Haftarot HaKtoris, And Tzivat Lechem Aponim, and Tzivat Lechem Aponim is an Avodah that's kosher, the Kohen Heviot. You don't need a Kohen Gadol for that. But all the 40 years in the Midbar, since there was an Anon, so the Halacha required a Kohen Gadol, because it hasn't been like Yom Kippur. Just like on Yom Kippur, there was an Anon representing Shekhinah. He needed to have a Kohen Gadol, Taka Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go in. And it's not like the Moshe came and makes a Kavachana. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go, so it's a Kavachana Aron Avonim. So the Tzonis is wrong. Kohen Gadol may go. That's the Pasuk in Akrei Moshe. Kibyon and Erol Akafos.